Hey everybody, welcome to Brian's Vinyl Records. I'm Brian. It's been a while, and unfortunately, I've got to apologize for that. I was hoping to get things moving again in the right direction after summer break, and then, you know, life happened. We got ourselves a new puppy, and that puppy has taken up a lot of my time, and that's causing me to kind of have to push things such as my YouTube videos and my podcasts a little to the side, but I'm hoping that we can change that. I'd like to at least get one episode out a month, hopefully two. That would be great. But I can't hold myself to that, as you've seen. So I apologize. I thank everyone who's listening for holding on and waiting. And maybe you forgot about this podcast and somehow it showed up in your feed. But thank you for listening. I appreciate that quite a bit. And I'm hoping to get a little more involved in my podcasts, as well as my vinyl community on YouTube and everything else. As always, you can follow me on Instagram or Facebook. Just search for Brian's Vinyl Records on both of those, and you'll find me. I post almost daily, multiple times usually, of what I'm listening to at the time and what I'm playing. So check those out. I do a monthly update right now on YouTube of things that I brought in for the month. If you remember me talking a few episodes ago, I am trying to limit my purchases. I guess not limit them, but make them count a little more. And I kind of want to talk a little more about that in this episode as well. When I started collecting vinyl, probably in 2015, so almost 6 years ago now, you know, it was just kind of a cool thing. I had been listening to music on my Amazon Music. I had ripped all of my CDs onto MP3 and would listen to them that way on my iPod in the car, things like that. And I hadn't really been buying a lot of physical media for a few years at that point. I got hooked right away. I loved going into the record store. It reminded me of digging in my old Musiclands, my old Best Buys, my old Targets and all that for new CDs all the time. And I missed that. So the nostalgic factor was huge when I started out. And when I started out, I just started buying things. First, it was stuff that I thought, cool, you know, this is awesome, I love this album. And then it just became buying things, you know. Bands that I never had a CD of growing up. Bands that I never had a cassette tape of growing up. You know, just buying things. I heard this, I like that one song, let's buy this one. Oh, hey, here's another one by them, let's buy that. And eventually, over the years, I've accumulated over 2,000 LPs, and more than that, probably around 3,000 LPs in the long run, over that course of 6 years. And as I talked about earlier in one of my episodes, I've started to try and curate that collection down to things that I know I really need and want. Here's one of the main problems I'm running into. A lot of the stuff that I have that I don't really need or want is filler stuff and dollar bin stuff and really isn't worth anything to anyone else. You'd almost have to give it away to people. And a lot of it I did pay, you know, $1 or $2 or $3 for at the time. So it's not like I'm out a ton of money investment on that. But, you know, it's almost a shame to just throw it away, which I wouldn't do anyway, and no record store really wants it because they probably have about 15 or 16 copies of the same things. So I'm finding myself with a lot of stuff like that that I'm trying to get rid of, and it's causing, you know, some wonderment of what do I really need. I've gone through list after list after list. I download everything I have is listed on Discogs. You can find that at Brian's Vinyl Records on Discogs if you want to see what I have in my collection. Also want to see what I'm currently trying to sell. It's also up there as well. And I've gone through, I've downloaded my list of albums that I have and gone through it over and over again, highlighting things that I probably don't really need to have or things that I definitely want to keep. And every time I go through this exercise, it seems like I just can't let go of things. And I don't know why, right? Do I need to have every Paul McCartney album? Probably not. I probably won't listen to most of those. I have my favorites. Those are the ones I probably should keep. But every time I go through the list, they almost all remain for me as things I want to keep. Do I need to have all of George Harrison's albums? Probably not. Again, I go through the list. I have my favorites. Those are the ones I should probably keep. The rest of them, do I need them? Probably not, but I somehow always decide that I need to have them. You know, that's kind of the mentality as you sit there and collect all this music. Now, chances of me listening to all of those albums a lot are slim. Chance of me listening to them at least one more time in the next couple years? Marginally better, but still, I may not. So, I have to try and tell myself, do I really need to have this? And so, I've let go of some things lately that normally I would say, oh, I can't sell that. That's hard to get, or that's not easy to find, and why would I do that? And I force myself to say, when's the last time I listened to this? Do I want to put it on right now and listen to it? And if the answer to that is not in a long time, and no, I really don't want to listen to it right now, maybe I don't need to have that in my collection, per se. Maybe I don't need to keep it. So I've put a few things like that online for sale, and I have sold a bunch of them. And I find myself that I'm not missing it as much as I thought I would. Strange as that may sound. So where are we here right now? I love my vinyl records. I absolutely love them. I listen to them a lot. In a given day, I probably listen to at least 3 albums, sometimes up to 5 albums in a given day while I work. I have the luxury of working from home. I have a vinyl setup in my office so I can listen throughout the day, and I have no issues with that, and it's been great. I love it. I do listen to a lot more records than I probably would have if I couldn't listen to them during the day. In fact, I do most of my listening during the day, and at night, I'm usually with the kids, with the new dog, running them around to different, you know, activities, things like that, and I don't have as much time on weekends and nights to listen to music as I used to, and so most of my listening comes during the day. But it's a good thing, right? Because I'm able to look through my vast catalog of albums and pick some things out that I want to listen to and maybe they haven't listened to in a while that would get playing time more than it would have otherwise. That being said, I do find that a lot of time I like going back to a lot of the same albums. So again, it bears the question, why do I have every copy of Paul McCartney's albums in my collection? Do I need them? My brain says, I probably don't, but my heart says, yeah, I do need that. I want to listen to that at some point. So it's a hard game to play, to try and convince yourself that you don't need this copy or this album because you just don't listen to it. So I'm, you know, over the last year, I've spent trying to convince myself of what albums I absolutely have to have and what I don't. And I go up and down on those. At times, I'm like, oh, I can just get rid of all these different things. And at other times, I'm like, no, I can't do that. I just can't get rid of it. I need all of those. And so it's a balancing act that I'm trying to play. And I'm not there yet. I'm not at the point where I can just say, yep, just get rid of all those. And yep, I only need this one or that one or this one or that one. And I think I'll get there eventually, but I'm not sure. So I wanted to talk about that in general, because I'm in some Facebook groups all about vinyl. And the topic does come up every once in a while of buying albums just to buy albums. And why we do this, and what does it do for us, and is it smart? I went to a record fair recently. It's the first time I've ever been to a record show, fair, whatever you want to call it. This one went by record fair, and I was waiting outside. I got there really early to be in line, and another gentleman came up, and a couple of them eventually came up and were waiting as well. And the topic came up about vinyl records, and we were talking about different things about them. And I was asked, you know, how many vinyl records I have. And I said, I have about 2,300 records. And they said, oh, you're just getting started. And my jaw, I think, visibly dropped. They went on to tell me about the 12,000 or more records that they have in their collections. And one of them had 20,000 records in their collections. And they were talking about how they were going to probably try and get rid of a bunch of them. And the one who had 20,000 piped up and said, well, if you want to get rid of them, I'll take them all. Didn't even care what they were. To me, that's not a healthy habit, but that's my opinion. Now, to the person collecting 20, 30, 40,000 records, most likely they're doing it to have this catalog of music that at any time if someone is over and wants to hear something, they probably will have it. Or if any time you have an inkling to listen to a particular genre, they will probably have it type thing. I don't know. I don't know the mindset. It's almost a hoarder's mindset, right? Others look at it as a collecting mindset. I know people, I've seen images of people who have 50,000 records and they're collectors. Many of them haven't ever been listened to. That's something I don't like personally. I think records are meant to be listened to and not stored on a shelf, but there are people who do that and I don't fault them. That's their thing, that, you know, and they're looking at it as an investment in the future to give to their children or grandkids or whatever to hopefully set them up for a good financial sum, college, whatever they want to use it for. And I understand that mentality. I don't know if the vinyl market will be there in 10 to 15 years. I've stated this before, we're in a hard time right now in the vinyl industry where the people who know how to make these records are starting to die off. The people who know how to master these records, who make beautiful sounding albums on vinyl, are starting to pass away, to go. And those secrets, a lot of times, are going with them. Now, some of them do have some proteges, which is great. Some of them do have, knowledge passing down going on. But when you look at some of the great mastering people and engineers, they're getting up there in age, and nobody's able to do it as good as them yet. Also, the gear used to make vinyl records is getting up there in age, and nobody at this point has come up with a better way of making a record. This is also a big problem. Like, HD vinyl, that was supposed to be the savior of vinyl. Where is it? What happened to it? What's going on with it? Is it not working? Did the idea look good on paper, but when in practice, go down the tubes? So pressing plants are maxed out for various reasons that I'm not going to get into on this episode. Maybe we'll talk about it a little later in the podcast series. But for now, we'll leave it at the fact that those pressing plants are bogged down. They're backed up. And that's causing a lot of problems there. There aren't enough pressing plants for the current demand on vinyl records as it stands. That could do one of two things. It could drive people away from collecting vinyl because they are not able to get the albums they want on a timely manner. Or it could cause the appetite for vinyl records to continue to go up and people wanting more and getting their hands on it. Walmart is pressing a lot of things on vinyl right now. And I think that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. You know, however you can get your albums, awesome. Walmarts are available in many more places than record stores are available some in a lot of states. So more power to Walmart having some vinyl available to people. But here's the thing on that. They only press a certain amount, usually, of the albums. And people are going in and they're hoarding the vinyl and not allowing actual people who want them to get them. And they'll save them and put them online for a higher price because those records are in demand and their value is going up. So that's kind of driving people crazy. The market, the aftermarket or the post sale market right now is insane. It's insane. I look at an album like Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears. It just got reissued by Sony on a beautiful sounding 2LP set, and it sounds spectacular, just super well done. The original US press of that album, you would think, would finally go down in price. I mean, it's been hovering around $100, $150 for the last couple years. And now that there is a superior, in my opinion, reissue available, you would think the original pressing would go down in price, when in fact, last I checked, they're going for anywhere from $230 to $400 on Discogs to resell. I don't understand why that's happening, but the ferocity and the lust of people to have original pressings right now is huge. It's huge. And people are paying out the wazoo for these albums. It's kind of crazy. I recently sold an album that I didn't think commanded a whole lot of money and got almost $100 for something that I had paid $14 for it on a reissue of the album. And it blew my mind. It just blew my mind that someone wanted to pay that kind of money. Things that I do here. So I used to take part in a bunch of Facebook online sales. A bunch. And some were auctions, some were set price sales, all this kind of stuff that go on. And when you're doing it at the time, you don't realize it. So we're getting back to this this topic of is collecting vinyl, can it become toxic? And here's where I think it does, right? I would spend 2 to 3 days a week watching these online sales. They would be on certain days of the week, and I'd always make it so that I could watch these things go on. And I found myself buying things that I had no business buying just because, oh, it's a good price and it's up here and people say it's a good record, right? I brought home some Roger McGuinn's albums and Roger McGuinn, great artist from the Byrds. I never heard any of his solo stuff before in my life. And here I am buying two of his albums at a discounted price because he was a member of the Byrds. I don't know if it's any good or not. Turns out they're pretty good albums, but I probably won't listen to them ever again. And now they're sitting in my collection collecting dust. I found myself doing that a lot. I would rack up $30, $40, $50 in you know, $5 albums a night watching these things. And when I really should have been watching and looking for the albums that I really want. Now, a lot of times those don't show up on these live sales because, let's face it, they're hard to find. And when they do, the people doing these live sales are likely not going to put them online for these sales. Instead, they're going to put them on Discogs and get the most money they can for them, right? Or eBay or whatever their choice is. And I don't blame them for that at all. I mean, that's what I would do if I were them. But it was addicting. It was becoming a problem. I haven't bought a ton of stuff over the last year and a half on these live sales. In fact, I wait for specific things to show up. And if they do, I pounce on them. If they don't, I kind of just watch and let it go. I've cut back a ton on watching live vinyl sales on Facebook because most of it is stuff I'm not going to be interested in. It's stuff I don't want or don't need. I definitely don't need. So that's kind of the conundrum that I'm sitting in here. I had a problem of just buying to buy. Going to the record bins, finding the $1 bins, and buying things just because they were $1. That's not the way to do it, right? It's hard to stop yourself from it, but it's not the way to do it. And I found myself getting trapped in that vicious circle of having to buy things because I wanted to get it before someone else did. Nowadays, I'll sit and watch these online record sales and just cringe. It's not because people are buying stuff, because I think that's great. People are buying vinyl records. I think that's awesome. But because of what they're willing to pay for something. Case in point, I recently watched a live vinyl sale where they do an auction and they also do set sale stuff. And the seller brought out a copy of The Village People with the YMCA song on it, an album that I had bought for $1 in a dollar bin. And he put it up for $20. And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. Why would anyone pay $20? Not more than 30 seconds later, someone had claimed it and was paying $20 for a copy of The Village People, which should have been easily found for under $5 at your local record store. It blew my mind. It blew my mind. The other thing that's kind of gotten me down on these live auction sales is people are bidding things up like crazy. There are things that I see that I really want, and then I'll put in a price I think is fair for it, and someone will double that. It drives me nuts. The other thing that drives me nuts about these live sales is you got people who just want to win, and they'll do anything they can to win. So someone will put a nice record up for $25, and the first bid out of someone's mouth will be $50. That's not a good auctioning strategy. If you want it, know what your ceiling is. Start low. Save yourself some money. It's just insane. And it's taken me out of wanting to participate in a lot of these things where I know I could probably find a good, fun record that I really want, but I don't think I'll have a chance of buying it because someone's going to bid it up over $100 and it's a $60 record. It's happening a lot. And I think that's because people are in a position where they just need to have it and they're willing to pay whatever for it. I watch people drop $600-$700 in one live sale on numerous albums, obviously, but that's a lot to drop in one night on records. That's crazy to me. But hey, more power to them if they've got the money to do it. I hope they do. I hope they're not putting themselves at financial risk doing this because it's not worth that. But back to the other things that I'm seeing, right? Nirvana recently put out their Nevermind anniversary album. From all intents and purposes, it sounds like they only limited it to a certain amount of records, and there's a lot of people who are unfortunately not going to be able to get a copy of this album because they didn't tell people it was going to be limited, and record shops aren't getting as many as they were hoping to get of this album. It's a big album. It's a huge seller. It is iconic. It's an iconic album, and there have been many, 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 many better things. Now, this one has a specialty of having a special 7-inch with, I think, 2 or 3 songs on it that comes with it. And that's really cool, especially if you're a Nirvana fan. But I know there are people out there who seem to need to have every pressing of a Nirvana album. Of the same Nirvana album, I should say. Do you need to have that many pressings of the same album? That's a good question. I know people who collect certain bands, and that's awesome. And they collect as many different variants as they can. And I don't have a problem with that. I think that's kind of cool. I kind of do the same thing with my AC/DC collection. Not exactly the same thing, but I collect multiple copies of AC/DC because I want to have an original mix and the 2003 remix remaster version available to me, right? Just because I just want to have that in my collection. So that's something I do collect multiple pressings of. Other things are by accident, right? So Slave to the Grind by Skid Row. I found an original Korean press of the album and bought that for a pretty decent price, actually. I think I paid like $25 for it when that album typically goes for $50, $60, $70 and more. And I had that. And then a year later or so, the new reissue came out. Hell yeah, I was getting in line for that. And I ended up getting it, Record Store Day reissue. It sounds absolutely amazing, I think. And I'm super pumped about it. Well, now Skid Row is putting out a box set. Box set's going to have every album from the Atlantic years. So that means you're getting a copy of the debut. You're getting a copy of Slave to the Grind. You're getting a copy of B-Side Ourselves. And you're getting a copy of the much sought after Subhuman Race album. Subhuman Race on its own goes for around $450 right now. It's crazy the price that it commands. Because it was only pressed once, and I believe only pressed in maybe 2 countries. So it's very difficult to find. So the box set is announced. It's going to be $200 for the box set. And I ordered it because I want that Subhuman Race album. But that means that I will have 3 copies of Skid Row self-titled because I have the Friday Music reissue of it. I have the original pressing of it. And now I will get this box set version. I'll have 3 copies of Slave to the Grind because I've got the original Korean. I've got the RSD release. And then, of course, I'll get this one from the box set. I'll have 2 copies of Beside Ourselves. I got the Rhino Rocktober reissue of that really fun covers EP. And now I'll have the one from the box set. And then I'll finally have a copy of Subhuman Race, which is really what I want. But I don't want three copies of the self-titled. I don't want three copies of Slave to the Grind. And I don't want two copies of Beside Ourselves. So now I'm in a situation where I've got multiples that I don't need. So I'm going to have to try and figure out a way to sell those. And it's going to be hard for me because I love Skid Row. And I just assume keep all of them. But I don't need them. I just don't. So then it becomes, do I break up a box set and sell all the others? Or do I sell my really awesome Record Store Day version and my Friday Music version? I don't know what to do right now on that one. I guess I'll have to play them and see how they sound compared to the other ones and maybe keep the best sounding one because that's the smart thing to do. Or maybe I just keep the box set together because the box set together is more valuable than the box set separated. Again, I'm not in this to make money. I'm in this to have a collection of music that I love and want to listen to. It becomes an issue, becomes a problem. And that's kind of where it becomes dangerous, right? I've had, Dire Straits albums. I love Mark Knopfler's guitar sounds. I love his production values. I love how he puts things together and gives you just the most insane sounding albums and beautiful sounding. I had all of the Dire Straits albums, and then Mo-Fi started reissuing their original master recordings of their albums. And I looked at myself and I thought, I don't really need to get these, but they're going to sound amazing. And so I told myself I'd only get three of them. And I got the three that I liked the most, which is the self-titled album, Brothers in Arms, and Love Over Gold. Those are the three that I bought of Dire Straits Mo-Fi's. But now I've got two copies of them. My self-titled and Brothers in Arms copies were beautiful to begin with. They were pristine. My Love Over Gold had it was probably a VG on the vinyl. It had a little surface noise and some scuffs and marks on it. But otherwise, that was really the only one I should have even looked to upgrade, to be honest. They do sound amazing, the Mo-Fi versions, by the way. But I would have been quite happy just to have my other versions as well, because they do sound amazing as well. But that's kind of the problem when you get into records, is you want to have the coolest versions, even if you already have a pretty damn good version already. And so that's kind of where things are right now, and kind of what I wanted to talk about. What are your thoughts on all these? I mean, they're reissuing a ton of stuff right now, and it's becoming to the point where, do I need to have six copies of this album? But they've got a really cool color variant, or they got a really cool remaster done by so-and-so, or the vinyl was mastered by, whoever. Do I need to get that copy now, on the chance that it's going to sound better than my current copy? These are things that we struggle with as vinyl collectors, right? We struggle with the idea that we need to have the latest and greatest versions when we have versions that sound awesome and don't really need to get anything else. I don't know. To me, that becomes an issue, and it's one I struggle with myself. I've got three copies of AC/DC's Power Up. Why? Because one was on standard vinyl, one was on yellow vinyl, and one was on red vinyl. They were all specific to where you bought it. And I don't need three copies. I don't. I only need one because I'm only going to listen to one. But I got three. Now I don't know what to do about that. But I have a hard time choosing which one I want to keep if I had to break them up. Yellow's cool looking. Red's pretty neat. Black's classic. It's the conundrum we find ourselves in as vinyl collectors, guys. I know I've ranted and raged and I've kind of gone on tangents here in this episode, and it's probably not very, well put together, but I wanted to get some thoughts out. I wanted to get some thoughts out that I've been having lately with my collection, where I am as a vinyl collector, and all that. I find, you know, I told myself I wanted to buy less, but damned if they're not putting out some awesome reissues lately. I mean, what the heck? It seems like when I just decided to slow down on buying vinyl, I feel like I'm buying a lot more than I was. I feel like I'm buying tons more, or at least the same amounts, but spending more because I'm buying mostly new vinyl, right? Oh, it's crazy. It's a crazy world we live in, and these record companies are doing me no favors by putting out awesome stuff, and my artists are doing me no favors by putting out great new albums. But I don't fault them for that. I'm actually quite excited about it. So there I am. I'm trying to whittle down my collection, but every time two records go out, four more come in. So it seems, anyway. There's where I am in my vinyl collection story. So we'll keep this podcast going. We'll keep this fun going because I love my vinyl records. I love them. And I don't know if you could tell, I'm having a hard time trying to decide if I need to part with anything. But I am having a hard time with that. And who knows? Maybe I'll get the courage to whittle down this collection into a good amount of albums that I know I'll play more often than not. Maybe I'll keep adding to my Paul McCartney collection so I have them all. We'll see how that goes. I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast. I hope I didn't go on too many tangents and kind of ruin the flow of the podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, let me know. You can email me at briansvinylrecords@gmail.com. Let me know your thoughts on anything I talked about here. Do you collect multiple copies of albums? And are they specific to an artist? Or do you just buy them as the new variants come out? Are you a variant collector? Man, this got piss you off if you're a variant collector right now. And the amount of different variants that they're putting out for all these albums. Whew. I'm glad I don't fall into that one because I would be so upset right now if that were the case. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. I hope to have another one, like I said, at least once a month, hopefully twice a month coming up here. I thank you all for your time. Email me some suggestions on topics you'd like to hear me cover. If I have any knowledge in them, I will gladly hop on to one of those. If I don't, I'll let you know that I'm probably not the best person to talk about certain things, such as audio gear. I'm not an audiophile guy. I like the way my stuff sounds, whether it's high-end or low-end, I don't know, and I don't care because it sounds good to my ears. And so if you ask me to rate bookshelf speakers against other bookshelf speakers, I would be lost. So, but if you have topics on vinyl that you would like me to cover or hear about or anything like that, I'd be happy to take suggestions. briansvinylrecords@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook. Find me on Instagram. You can send me suggestions either way through those as well. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I hope this was enjoyable. And until next time, keep spinning, vinyl friends.